Welcome to Truth Culture Life. I am Royce Hood. Thank you so much for tuning in to Catholic Spirit Radio. And as always, be sure to check out the Catholic Spirit Radio app at catholicspiritradio.com. And you can listen to this show and our other shows anywhere you are. I just want to welcome, we've got a couple of special guests today, both authors with Sophia. And I want to welcome our first guest, Deacon Richard Eason. Deacon, how are you?
Very well today. Thank you, Royce, for having me on your show today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And you've got a really interesting background. Typically, we don't like lawyers, but in your case, we'll make an exception. You're a civil attorney as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so you and I share that in common. I always tell people, like, when I send a bill to my clients, they never hesitate to pick up the phone and call me when they need help. But they don't always like to pay their bill on time. And I've discovered nobody really likes to pay attorneys.
Amen on that. I remember seeing a survey some years ago that we were so far down on the list. We were like 30th of all the list of occupations, right at the bottom in terms of trustworthiness, reliability, and friendliness. So I get your point.
Yeah. You know, and I had a client once tell me, well, I don't mind paying good money for a good steak. And I thought, well, probably, you know, anyway, so yeah, it's so true. But anyway, so that's just the nature of it. But, you know, it's great to see, to meet Catholic attorneys. And I'll tell you what, I don't know, like with my little law practice, I don't advertise. Pretty much every single client that I have is word of mouth, referrals, or people that have been with me for years. And so I think that, you know, hopefully that says a lot, at least in terms of how I approach practice of the law. But it's a wild world out there. There's such a litigious society. So you're basically where was your practice based? And we'll talk about your book here in a second. That's the main
sure. No, my practice was based in New Orleans. I started out with a firm of 25 lawyers in New Orleans. And over the course of my time there, we grew to almost 300 lawyers in 17 states and all across the Southeast. And so it's been a great joy to watch it grow and develop and take advantage of the synergies of all the relationships that we have in our firm.
That's wonderful. It's so cool to see something like that to grow. I can understand and relate in many ways. And so we were talking a little bit. I was telling you how I met my wife at law school, and you met your wife in law school as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier that you met your wife on the second day of law school. I met my wife on the first day of registration. Her maiden name began with a D, Doyle, and mine is with an E. And we were standing in line, and when I was starting in law school, I said, well, I'll probably never find any girlfriends in law school. Well, lo and behold, I see this beautiful, tall blonde right in front of me. So we met on the first day and started dating after a few months. And now here we are many years later, three grown sons and grandchildren and all the rest of it. So
that's beautiful. You know, so if your name had been like lower down on the alphabet, you might have been out of luck.
Yeah, if my last name began with a V, the guy in front of me who had an E might have picked up on my wife.
So I, you know, what's funny is I met my wife, Elise, the second day, and we were like orientation, and we both got invited on to the law school radio show at the same time. And it was funny. And then she was also a blonde. So, I can relate. I found out she was going to Planned Parenthood to pray outside of Planned Parenthood on the weekend. And so I'd never done that before.
Wow.
And, it didn't really seem like something that I would really want to spend my time doing, but nonetheless, I went. And I made sure to stand next to her. And I started going every single weekend, primarily because I didn't want anybody else talking to her. lo and behold, I became president of the pro-life club. My other strategy for courting Elise, and she makes fun of me for this, but I always made sure I offered to carry her books. Wow. And I opened the door. And so all the other guys, I think they just assumed we were already a couple when in fact we really weren't. It took her quite a while before I won her over.
You went old school, right?
I was old school. Yeah. That's right. Chivalry is not dead. And it's right. A good, you know, it's smart. Carry books, open doors, pull out the seat. Come on, be a gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely. And
actually, it's a funny story. So the first time that she agreed to go out with me to dinner, she brought two of her girlfriends along from law school.
Wow.
So I thought to myself, and I was a broke law student, basically, you know, living on peanuts. And I thought, oh boy, this dinner just got more expensive. but we went to a nice place too, but you know, boy, he was worth
when the bill came, you expected to pay for two and you had to pay for four, right?
That's right. And again, I was, you know, anyway, so, well, good stuff. So look, you're a deacon as well and an author. I want to hear all about the new book. Let's see. And your book is coming out on Monday. Is that right? It's called Spiritual Lightning.
Yes, it's actually the full title of Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Value. That's just kind of a subtitle of it.
I love that. Answering the Call from Jesus. Tell us a little bit about your book. What's it about? And sure.
Here's the storyline. And as you know, being a practicing attorney, downtown New Orleans, a Catholic church nearby, St. Patrick's. And I would go to noon mass there pretty regularly over the course of these many years I've been downtown in our central business district. In the back of this church on the right-hand side is a stained glass window, and it's an image of Jesus pointing his finger at Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, and saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And at that time, Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute and kill Christians. And Jesus blinded him for 3 days. And over the course of the 3 days, Saul converted his life through the grace of spiritual lightning to promote Christian values, became an apostle. Saul became Paul, and he wrote the majority of the books of the New Testament. And over time, I realized that spiritual lightning was touching my soul, sitting next to the stained glass window so regularly, and wanted me to learn the values of Jesus and to work toward mastering them. And that's exactly what Paul writes about in his New Testament books. He writes about the values of Jesus and how to master them. So over time, I realized that the Holy Spirit wasn't guiding me to put together a book about spiritual lightning, what it is, how it works in your life, how to identify the values of Jesus, write about them, and then all of us answering our call to master those values. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I want to hear more about spiritual lightning. Can you give us some other examples that other people, and in ways other people might encounter spiritual lightning in their own life?
Oh, sure. In analyzing this, and you know this from being an attorney and having spent 40 plus years as an attorney and nearly 12 years as a deacon, been in and out of nursing homes and hospitals and coaching kids and talking with witnesses and clients, had numerous conversations, hundreds of conversations with people in their ages from teenagers to 90 about their spiritual journey. And over time, I've realized there's a pattern of the times in our lives when spiritual lightning touches our soul. And it can be in many different ways. It can be dramatic in the form of a health issue, the loss of a job, the loss of a family member, perhaps an accident. It can be more circumstantial. And you know this term from law practice. It can be a series of events over time that are positive or negative in your life. Or it can be a third way, indirect or subtly. Might be from your work in a ministry activity or community activity, or perhaps going to a retreat or listening to a spiritual talk, or perhaps doing a little scripture reading, or even a conversation with a friend. And when this spiritual lightning touches your soul, a bell goes off in your soul, a whistle goes off in your soul from Jesus to, am I going to act on this and change my life, or I'm just going to ignore it? And if you act on it and change your life, it's the call from him, which is a subtitle of the book, to learn his values and then to master them. But so often when this grace of spiritual lightning touches our souls, we ignore it and we go on our way and kind of bounce around like a ping pong ball between sometimes happiness and sometimes discontent in our life. So the whole concept is to answer the call from Jesus when that spiritual lightning touches your soul. And the book goes on to describe the 15 values of Jesus that are important to learn in our lives and live that joyful, abundant life that he wants us to have.
I absolutely love that. I mean, that spiritual lightning is not a phrase I've heard before. And it's not really something I've considered in the manner in which you're describing it. And so I really appreciate the context. And I think this is going to be an awesome book. And it will be available through SophiaInstitute.com. Just you can look up, if you go to SophiaInstitute.com for our listeners and you do a search for Richard Eason, his name will come up and you can see the book. And I think it's got pre-order right now, but then it'll be available for purchase on actual purchase on Monday. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And so, you know, this is, we're getting into, obviously this is a big election year coming up in this country. And for anybody that, I've turned off the news largely. I get my news now just on my phone. I hardly ever watch the news, but a lot of people do. And it's just so negative. There's so much division, fear, stress, anxiety, worry. It's constant, the constant bombardment, even from social media. I just read a study the other day of this sort of a pandemic of broken young hearts. All these kids are on their devices and they're tuning in now to news feeds and they get news feeds on their phone. And they're like, the anxiety and the worry and the stress and the peer pressure that comes with social media for kids is out of control. One of the talking points that Sophia sent over for the book was a four-step process to attain divine peace. in the face of fear, stress, anxiety, and worry. What would a four-step process look like in the context of this book?
Royce, I appreciate the question because one of the values of Jesus is learning to overcome fear, stress, and worry in your life. And there's a chapter dedicated to that. And each of the chapters in the book are only about 5 to 7 pages long, but they contain, each chapter has 5 to 7 scripture quotes in it, the writings of the saints, the encyclicals of the popes, and the catechism of the church. And each one of those chapters, one of which is on putting divine peace in your soul, covers a specific value that you can learn in about 10 or 15 minutes, put it in your heart, and change your life to answer the call from Jesus to do that. As to the specific steps in the peace process, the first is to open in prayer to our Lord on whatever challenge you have, offer it up to him, and ask for his guidance and direction. Then listen to the voice of Jesus on what that guidance and direction really is, and act on it from what our Lord tells you to do, and then thank him for giving you that peace in your life. There's no substitute in the whole world for listening to the voice of Jesus. Turn off your social media devices and spend some time in prayer with our Lord. Do some spiritual reading or some scripture reading, and you'll find that Jesus will speak to you in ways you never imagined, and you won't be impacted by the noise of the world going on around you. You'll be impacted by the voice of our Lord touching your soul and guiding your life each day.
That's beautiful. I had an agnostic atheist guest on this show. He's actually a famous priest now, and he was invited to adoration by a college group of buddies that he had. He wasn't interested in religion at all. He didn't know what adoration was. He thought it was like going to be a party. So he gets signed up on this retreat, and he had two shifts, 3 p.m. and 3 a.m. to sit in adoration. And he thought, well, this is nuts. I'm not going to sit. What do I do? You know, do I draw? Do I doodle? What do I do? So, and his buddy said, just sit there for an hour. If we can do it, you can do it. And so out of pure ego, he said, well, okay, fine. And then maybe we'll have beer after or something, right? So he's sitting in adoration, and at 3 p.m. he says, you know, this is nonsense. I don't think there's God. God, if you are really there, speak to me. Give me a sign and I'll give you my life. It's not going to happen. Leaves 3 a.m. he comes, and he's sitting there in the darkness of the church with the candles and in front of our Lord in adoration. And I get kind of choked up hearing this because it's such a profoundly powerful story. And all of a sudden he experienced this grace, this feeling inside that he couldn't shake. He couldn't explain. This overwhelming emotion just took him over. Maybe sort of like the spiritual lightning that you're
That's exactly spiritual lightning is.
And he said, oh no, I guess I'm yours. What have I done? You know, graduates college, enters the seminary, and now he's an exorcist. And his name is Father Carlos Martins. He was a guest on this show. Awesome. He's got a podcast called The Exorcist Files. I'd encourage you to check it out. But I think about that, like God spoke with him. And I think about all the people out there that probably have heard or felt God's voice. And maybe it's just it's just like our conscience or something. Who knows? But they ignore it. I think so many adults ignore it because, like you said, they're so busy with the hustle and bustle and the noise, they're not paying attention. Should we really be doing this thing that we're doing? Are we following God's will? Are we doing what we need to do for our families as men? So I love this subject matter. How would you recommend? And we only have a few more minutes left in this segment, but I'm curious. Spiritual mediocrity, right? And spiritual maturity. Explain right. How we replace one with the other.
And as we were saying earlier, I like to kind of call so many of us in our Catholic Church as kind of Sunday Catholics. We'll rush into Mass and be exposed to a homily and some scripture and experience the bread of the strong, the Eucharist. And on our way out, we're fighting out of the parking lot on who's going to get out of the parking lot first. So we kind of have an hour with our Lord, and we kind of put him back in a box until next Sunday. And that's more of spiritual mediocrity, where Jesus really isn't in our lives on an everyday, all-day basis. And the way we grow to spiritual maturity is by allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in your soul and guiding you through things. And I'll tell you a very quick story. When I was in my early 30s, I was struggling with all kinds of aspects of my life, from raising small kids and law practice over my head, my father in the hospital, and other family member in a detox unit. And I started outlining the New Testament as guided by the Holy Spirit from Matthew to Revelation. And by spending a little bit of time, a few nights, weeks outlining a chapter, I realized the Holy Spirit talks to you as you're spending time in Scripture. And that's when I realized that the Holy Spirit is there for us all every day in our lives. And we can reach spiritual maturity by allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in our souls in all aspects of our lives. And it's a powerful, powerful experience. There's nothing else like it on the face of the planet. So turn off your cell phone, turn off your social media for a while, spend a little time in doing some scripture reading or some spiritual study, and you'll find this voice of the Holy Spirit will change your life forever. You'll never, ever miss out on the opportunity to be with Him.
I love it. Absolutely beautiful. Honestly, there's more questions I want to ask you. I think what we're going to do, we're out of time with this segment. We've got another guest coming in, but if you can stick around, I want to bring you back during our last segment. We'll have you and our other guest on. And I want to talk about some of the things like spiritual lightning being unleashed in the lives of the saints and contemporary witnesses. And I think that actually will relate some to the other topic that we're about to bring in. So Deacon, thank you for being here.
Sure.
New book, Spiritual Lightning. It's got a longer title, but check it out at sophiainstitute.com. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Thank you. Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon was a success. We reached our goal, and we still have donations arriving by mail and online. We thank all of our listeners and guests who participated and who made the event a fun and meaningful broadcast. Your generous donations show that you understand the importance and care about Catholic Radio. You, dear listeners, truly put the care in Carathon.
Three Kings Gifts has sacramental and seasonal gifts, religious medals, rosaries, and more on the College Avenue Epiphany Church campus in Normal. Three Kings Gifts is open 10 to 3:30 on Thursday and Friday, 8 to 1 on Sunday. Profits help charitable organizations.
Listeners support Catholic Spirit Radio in many different ways. Some write checks, others use credit cards. But did you know that you can also give Catholic Spirit Radio your old car, truck, boat, motorcycle, or RV, even if it's not working? Donating your vehicle is easy. We take care of everything from pickup to tax receipt. Just go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link or call 866-628-CARS.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have three new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station. 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of two for lightweight general cleaning at our Normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
Hello, this is Steve Gleason with your 1 minute tool for Catholic evangelism. Here's the question for your non-Catholic friend. Was the Catholic Church in existence as far back as the first 3 centuries? Well, here's your 3 best friendship tools for Catholic evangelism. Number 1, baseball. In September 1845, the New York Knickerbocker Baseball Club was formally established and called baseball. Rules were set, included a diamond-shaped infield, foul lines, and the 3-strike rule. But 7 years before that, in 1775, that game was already being played on schoolyards, well before it was ever called baseball. Secondly, the Apostolic Fathers, such as Tertullian, Clement, St. Ignatius, all wrote before 215 AD about the authority of the local bishop, and they used the name the Catholic Church, which already had the liturgy, the Eucharist, the readings, the relics, a hierarchy, and jurisdiction. And thirdly, my take. To fishermen, a dolphin was just a big fish until they were termed dolphins, but they were always dolphins. And baseball was baseball well before it was termed baseball. And you will love this. The early church was the Catholic Church well before Constantine the Great, the Nicene Creed, and your church history book.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. I am Royce Hood. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Be sure to check us out on Facebook as well, facebook.com/@truthculturelifepod. And then you can follow me. I get a little bit political on Twitter sometimes, but if you don't mind some politics, go to Twitter. I guess it's x.com/@Royce Hood. And comment and talk to me on there. I'd be happy to interact with you. All right. So we are back with our second guest. We've got James Valois, author as well, with Sophia, who's got a new book, Our Lady's Prophecies. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on, Royce.
And actually, I know that you like to be called Jim, so I'll stick with Jim. I have James is actually a family name for us. I've got maternal, paternal grandparents named James, and they either go by James or Jimmy, Jim.
Sure.
There's a lot of variations for James. It's a great name.
Yes, that's very true. I've been called just about every one of them, too.
That's excellent. So for Royce, there's really not a lot of great variations for Royce. And my last name being Hood, typically people just have fun with that and they call me like Robin Hood. In fact, I was actually introduced on Fox News by a priest as Robin Hood. It was during the March for Life one year. It was really interesting. And you can't argue with the priest, especially when you're live on the air. So I just sort of nodded and said, yes, that's me. Anyways, can you tell us about your new book, Our Lady's Prophecies?
Sure. It's a book very much centered on Our Lady of Good Success of the Purification, and formerly known as Our Lady of Good Success. And then recently the sisters down in Ecuador asked us to add on of the purification. But it's approved prophecy. It's been approved since 1611. Bishop, his name is Ribeiro Alvaros. He approved the prophecies back at that time, and every subsequent bishop has upheld that approval. And so these prophecies go way back, but they're specifically geared, and they're speaking about the 20th century and the 21st century.
Wow,
it's spilling over. Yes.
So I'm fascinated by this subject matter because I think Marian apparitions are one of the most like underappreciated fruits of our faith. And it's so amazing how I saw something somewhere the other day, like a number of conversions that occurred after Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared. Right. And every time there's these apparitions, I mean, generally speaking, there's some prophecy that comes with that and messages, and there's conversions. But I want to hear about some of the prophecies. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history and the background?
Yeah, Royce, that's the background regarding Our Lady of Good Success of the Purification is Mother Mariana went, she felt called to be a missionary to a colony in Ecuador. It was called the Colony of St. Francis of Assisi. And so she joined her aunt, and they went in a small group with the permission and the authorization of the king, because back in those days, the kings would authorize such endeavors. And so they traveled down to what is called Quito, Ecuador, and it was a long and perilous journey. And on the way, they had a spiritual battle that took place. Where the enemy appeared to them and trying to say that this would not be established, this foundation would not happen. And our Blessed Mother appeared with our Lord and chopped off the heads of all of the serpents that were, this image of the devil. And so our Lord brought peace and calm to the ocean, just like he did to the lake in Israel. But the messages are specifically for our time. So they warn against things such as the attack on marriage and the family. So there is a full frontal assault on marriage and the family. And there is also an attack on the laws of cultures where legal systems will make it easy to sin and to disobey God. And so there's a whole panoply of different types of things that will happen and that were prophesied that would happen. And one of them is that a great Catholic president would come and he would actually be a martyr. And I can tell you more about that, but that that actually took place. And I can tell you the details of how I know it took place based on all the evidence that we have before us.
So this is such a fascinating topic and so much. I love the mysticism related to Marian prophecy and apparitions. And I find that people, generally speaking, you know, they live their everyday lives, non-Catholics and so forth. But whenever news crosses over into the mainstream that deals with some supernatural occurrence and typically related to the church in some manner, it's amazing how those stories take off. An example of that is this Sister Wilhelmina in Gower, Missouri, whose body was discovered after 4 years to be completely intact, right? So an incorruptible in the United States. And just within days, tens of thousands of people traveled to this little place in the middle of nowhere in Gower, Missouri. And the point is, people are drawn to the spirit because we are. I read something one day, and I'm going to, a long time ago, I'm going to paraphrase it, and I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong. But it was something along the lines of, you know, we are not our body, right? We are a spirit that has a body, right? And I don't know if I'm saying that quite right, but the spirit, like the soul, that there's a connection there with God that we physically don't understand, but spiritually it's there. So one of the notes that I have here was, along with these apparitions, Mother Mariana received an apparition of Jesus crucified, the Blessed Virgin, St. John, and St. Mary Magdalene, all life size. And you said in the notes here, you call this the vision of three swords. And this is a little bit about what you're talking about. Tell us about the three swords.
Yes, that's that vision. I call it the vision of the three swords because when Our Lady was, or Mother Mariana, she became the mother of the foundation. And when she was, you know, before the Blessed Sacrament, she light started coming out of the tabernacle, similar to how light came out of the tabernacle in another approved apparition in Japan, Akita, Japan, and this to Sister Sasagawa. And so light was coming out of the tabernacle, and then our Lord came out to a life-size image, and so did our Blessed Mother, Mary Magdalene, and St. John the Evangelist. And when they all came out, you know, Our Lady or Mother Mariana felt so much like, did I do something to cause this? And Our Lady assured her that it was nothing that she had done, but it was because of the sins of the 20th century. Mm. So the sins of the 20th century, and on each of the swords was written blasphemy, impurity, and heresy.
Hold on a second. So sure. our listeners have some context.
Sure.
These apparitions happened not in the 20th century.
Well, they happened. That's right.
You're talking about Mother Mariana, right? Yeah. In 1582, she received the apparition of Jesus. So right. Is that the one? Maybe I'm getting confused with Akita. Akita was obviously more recent.
Yeah, right. Akita was in 1973, right. And then it continued on in 75. So with this message, it ties into Fatima, and yeah, it ties into Akita, and it ties into other apparitions as well. But I wanted to bring out, and I do bring out in the book, how it ties in with other very powerful messages. But when Our Lady spoke this was in 400 years ago.
Wow.
So back when clockmaking was a great invention and everybody was making clocks, and that was the technology available. And they were, of course, learning new technologies in warfare and other areas. But Our Lady said that and God revealed that in the 20th century, blasphemy, impurity, and the third one of heresy would be the predominant three sins of the 20th century. And so in my book, you know, which is Our Lady's Prophecies, I try to bring out one of the main heresies of the 20th century was communism. And it continues to be a heresy, even if it's in American forms or other types of forms. We have to really pay attention to this woke culture, because it is pushing a leftist ideology. And that's what Our Lady warned against, that these false heresies would spread throughout the land. But she also spoke about ways we could personally resist the enemy, and how in the end there will be a triumph of Our Lady and our Lord.
Yeah. You know, just to pick up on one of the things you said, you know, the communism is without question, I mean, it's a godless form of government, and even just the school of thought that goes into it. It's amazing how just when, you know, under Reagan, you think communism's going away, and it pops up again in different forms and different names and different titles, but the ideology is the same, and the perversions and the disordered conduct. I am involved in film, as my listeners know, and I'm fascinated by the golden era of Hollywood. And there was this period of time where Hollywood was making wonderful films, good films. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's name was taken in vain at some point. And it was shocking. And there's some other things that happened with the, you know, sexualization of the women in movies and so forth. And it just slowly eroded. And it started off small. And just little bit by little bit, people became more accustomed to hearing the blasphemies and to seeing the impurities and the heresies and all the different things that you're describing. And now it's so common for people to take the Lord's name in vain. And to me, that's one of the things it bothers me so much when I hear it on movies. It just turns me off. It's so unnecessary.
Yes.
Put that into a script. There's a million things you can say, a million other expletives even.
Yes.
Why say that one? But it's everywhere. And it's intentional. The devil knows what he's doing. You remove respect for God. You remove respect for the Ten Commandments and the sacraments of the church, and anything goes. You stand for nothing, you fall for anything, and that's exactly what we see, the attack on family. We talk a little bit about some of the other prophecies, the corruption of customs, diabolical influence and control of institutions, the focus on attack on innocent children. And that's not just in the womb. Now we're seeing, you know, kids mutilated at young ages, and it's striking to me how, you know, I've been against some of this stuff for a long time. Then all of a sudden a study will come out and it gets buried that, oh, well, it turns out, you know, giving kids hormone therapy and puberty blockers might actually be damaging. Well, of course it's damaging, you knuckleheads.
Yes.
Right? It's not natural. Come on.
Yes.
You know, kids will believe anything. My kids, you know, they get excited about the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. If I told them that they could grow up and be a pirate, they would probably believe me. Mm-hmm. You know, protect the children. Anyway, I digress. We're almost out of time in this segment. Give us some good news. What are some things people can do in their lives to fight, to combat some of the issues that are plaguing our lifetime?
I believe that the messages of Our Lady of Good Success, of the Purification, call us to work together. If there are crazy things going on in the school boards, for example, go and change those. If there are crazy things going on in the community that you live in, go and change those. I think God is calling for young Christians and from all denominations to work together to bring about a restoration of Christian culture, which this country was founded upon. And so that is going to involve some change in our character. Our Lady told us to be brave and courageous. And I believe we're supposed to be brave about everything and to be persevering also. So we have to do what is right in spite of the opposition that we're going to get. And this is part of the call. And in the end, we know for a fact that our Lady wins, our Lord wins. And we will not have to worry one bit about that, because Our Lady is going to actually intervene at some point when things are dark enough, where she's going to come in to initiate this new era where the church is going to be brought back to where it should be, front and center and throughout the land as the one true and holy faith. But what I was going to say was working together is going to require humility, and it's going to require grace, and it's going to require I think we see this a lot in the pro-life movement, the working together with multiple denominations. And so those are some of the things Our Lady has called us to do, is to work together and to also realize that these things that are only signs of the end of evil, if you will, because evil is its days are numbered, and it's only a matter of time before it gets washed out and good gets and wins and takes over.
Well, that's excellent. A lot there, a lot of great points. And I would just encourage our listeners to go to sophiainstitute.com and check out this new book, Our Lady's Prophecies. I mean, this is apparitions of Mary and the messages of from Our Lady over the years is one of my favorite topics. In fact, it was Mary that led to my, I should say, reversion into the church, my conversion into the church, so to speak. And so many people, I mean, Mary's the refuge of sinners. It's just amazing how when we go to her and ask for her intercession, and humility, I've never experienced a moment in my life where she hasn't answered that prayer in some manner or another. And it's funny, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Sometimes the answer to our prayers doesn't always come in the way that we expect it to come. But if we're open, if we're paying attention, as our prior guest Deacon Richard said, if we're have some silence, some contemplation, we're gonna hear what that answer is. We're gonna feel it. We're going to experience in our lives. We just have to recognize it. And I'll give an example of that on the other end of our break. We got to cut to a break, Jim. If you can hang on, I want to bring you and Deacon Richard back in for sort of a power segment at the very end, and we can have some conversation about these different topics.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks. Stick around. You're listening to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right
back. Give praise to the Lord.
Thank you. Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon was a success. We reached our goal, and we still have donations arriving by mail and online. We thank all of our listeners and guests who participated and who made the event a fun and meaningful broadcast. Your generous donations show that you understand the importance and care about Catholic Radio. You, dear listeners, truly put the care in Carathon.
Three Kings Gifts has sacramental and seasonal gifts, religious medals, rosaries, and more on the College Avenue Epiphany Church campus in Normal. Three Kings Gifts is open 10 to 3:30 on Thursday and Friday, 8 to 1 on Sunday. Profits help charitable organizations.
Listeners support Catholic Spirit Radio in many different ways. Some write checks, others use credit cards. But did you know that you can also give Catholic Spirit Radio your old car, truck, boat, motorcycle, or RV, even if it's not working? Donating your vehicle is easy. We take care of everything from pickup to tax receipt. Just go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link or call 866-628-CARS.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have 3 new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station, 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of two for lightweight general cleaning at our Normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
Hello, this is Steve Gleason with your 1 minute tool for Catholic evangelism. Here's the question for your non-Catholic friend. Was the Catholic Church in existence as far back as the first 3 centuries? Well, here's your 3 best friendship tools for Catholic evangelism. Number 1, baseball. In September 1845, the New York Knickerbocker Baseball Club was formally established and called baseball. Rules were set, included a diamond-shaped infield, foul lines, and the 3-strike rule. But 7 years before that, in 1775, that game was already being played on schoolyards, well before it was ever called baseball. Secondly, the Apostolic Fathers, such as Tertullian, Clement, St. Ignatius all wrote before 215 AD about the authority of the local bishop, and they used the name the Catholic Church, which already had the liturgy, the Eucharist, the readings, the relics, a hierarchy, and jurisdiction. And thirdly, my take. To fishermen, a dolphin was just a big fish until they were termed dolphins, but they were always dolphins, and baseball was baseball well before it was termed baseball. And you will love this. The early church was the Catholic Church well before Constantine the Great, the Nicene Creed, and your church history book.
All right, welcome back to Truth Culture Life. I'm Royce Hood. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just a reminder, you can listen to this program Saturday nights at 6, if I'm remembering correctly, Sundays at 9, and Sundays at 5 at Catholic Spirit Radio. And then I also do post episodes at Spotify, or you can listen to them as well at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. So be sure to check those that link out for Catholic Spirit Radio. All right. This is our power segment. We don't always do this, but I thought it'd be fun to have these two amazing authors come on together and to just talk a little bit about some of the subject. I mean, we're talking about spiritual lightning. We're talking about Marian apparitions. Wow. Jim, but right before we were in our break and you're talking a little bit how you thought spiritual lightning was interesting. I'm going to turn it to you. First comment.
Sure. You know, when Deacon was talking about spiritual lightning, I was thinking about Mother Mariana, because when she got this lightning, she was a nun from 400 years ago, seeing the 20th century, and it was such a shock to her that she died on the spot. She literally died, and this was I actually have the name of the doctor in my file, but I can't recall his specific name at this moment, but the doctor testified that she had died, but then her sisters prayed for her to come back to life because she could not believe the shocking things that she was seeing in our century. That's why I think Our Lady's Prophecies is a book that everyone should know, because Our Lady wanted it to be known at this particular time. She said that, revealed to Sister Mariana, that it would not be necessary until we reach the hour that it's needed for. And we're in that hour right now, in my belief. I'm very convinced that this is the hour that we are now experiencing.
Wow.
You know, and your point is really well taken, Jim. When you think about our Blessed Mother's time in this life, there are certain recordings in the Gospels about only on a limited basis, but they're very profound statements. And if you remember, she was at the wedding feast at Cana, and when she told Jesus that she wanted him to do his first miracle of converting water into wine to salvage the wedding reception, what did he tell the stewards there? He told them real simply, do as he tells you. Hmm. Those words resonate with all of us, that our Lord is wanting us to do as he tells us. And our Lady is the greatest intercessor to her son, Jesus, as you point out in your book. And as Royce was saying about the apparitions around the world, she's only doing those apparitions by the grace of Jesus allowing her to do those things. So those messages that she tells us all in these apparitions are critical to our well-being for now and in the future. And through all the apparitions, that some of which you mentioned, others that we all know of, she's always instructed people about the coming events. And in every one of those apparitions, her key to everything is pray, 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 because she wants us to have that relationship with Jesus. So when he calls us from this life and these crazy times we're in may come to an end, he wants us all to be in heaven with her.
Amen. I couldn't have said it, you know, better. That is the fundamental reality, is really that our Lord wants us in heaven, and Our Lady is helping him by coming to the earth so many times, especially in modern times. If you kind of go back to, Our Lady of Lourdes all the way up, all the approved apparitions point to turning to prayer, turning to penance, and turning to repentance. And I think our Lord is calling all of us to change our lives in the ways that he is calling us to change. And so there's this real call to repentance and to prayer and to sacrifice, and to sacrifice for others as well. And this message is of Our Lady. I mean, she was already living a very sacrificial life. So that's why I think that the message, the focus on sacrifice, was embedded within the message. But yes, we are being called by God in these times, and irregardless of what others choose to do, you know, continue to kill unborn children, continue to mutilate children, continue to traffic in children. All of these grave sins are not unnoticed by God. And I think that he's calling all of us to address them one by one or multiply. I guess it would be multiply because there are many ministries working at different aspects of the problems.
You know, can I jump in for a second? This goes to a talking point I wanted to bring up with the deacon earlier, but we ran out of time. Following Christ's example and living the corporal works of mercy. Are corporal works of mercy something that we as lay people can do to combat some of these errors that we see occurring in our society?
Royce, you bring up a great point, and Jim knows this as well. In the worlds that we all live in, we recognize that there are certain holy people that are around us. And what we know about them is they're always giving back, always doing things for others. And one of the commandments of Jesus is to be selfless, to go out and help others along the way and journey, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that includes the corporal works of mercy of feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, giving alms to the poor, burying the dead, sacrificing some of your own time and your resources to help those around us. And when we're engaged in that kind of activity, we're doing what our Blessed Mother Mary taught us to do and says, as she told us, do as he tells you. And we're being handmaids of the Lord as she responded to the angel Gabriel when she said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will. We're doing the Lord's will. And by doing so, we're promoting the good news to others and we're bringing them into a life of holiness. And that's what spiritual lightning is all about. As Jim was saying, we've got to answer that call right now to bring our family members closer to our Lord and our friends and co-workers to our Lord, because we don't know when that time is going to come. And it could be imminent. It could be not in our lifetime. But while we're in this life, we've got to answer that call to master his values. Let that spiritual lightning work in your soul.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Okay, I want to ask you guys both this question. When you hear the term highways to heaven, what do you think about?
Yeah, I've got it in my book. It's a chapter, but go ahead and take the lead on this.
Well, I'll just briefly say, when I think of that, I think of my days in Eastern martial arts where, you know, we used to talk about there are many roads to the great city. But actually, there's one road. And John 14 brings it out where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. My brother had that painted on the back of his station wagon when we both had a conversion. And my brother has since gone on to our Lord. And at this point, you know, he had that message out there, though, that he wanted everyone to know that the gospel truth is that there really is one road to the great city.
And to follow up with what Jim said, in our Catholic faith, we have two wonderful sacraments available to us, and that's confession and the Eucharist. And those are the highways to heaven, as we all know, as St. Maria Faustina Kowalska told us, that the Eucharist is the bread of the strong. So we have the opportunity to experience the bread of the strong every day by having the real presence of Jesus in our soul. And the second sacrament is confession. And if you think about confession, and all of us on this call have experienced that, the greatest joy in life is when you walk out to confession, when you finish your penance, because your soul is pure. It's better than the best day of your life, the best concert you ever went to, the best football game you ever went to, better than Christmas morning, because you have peace, divine peace in your soul. So yes, confession is a real popular, a real wonderful, fundamental way to draw us back to a strong Christian faith and all those around. So if you haven't been in a long time, just go, because it's a difference maker in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, I've had some priests on here before that have said, and they actually enjoy the big stuff. Like, it doesn't give them pleasure to hear the big confessions, but they don't judge the confessor. They're not looking down on the confessor. They're not going to make fun of the person, you know, that's giving the confession to them and confessing their sins. They appreciate it when you come, and they're there to help us. And I would just encourage people to look it up if you haven't done so. There's actually a website, it might be catholicmass.com or something, but it provides mass times, And it also, in some cases, has links to when the mass times are. And if you go to your parish website, you can find confession times as well. So that's a fruit that more of us need to take advantage of on a regular basis. Deacon, let me ask you this theologically. What happens if somebody doesn't confess everything? Is there a way to answer that? I don't know whether that – I'm not going to give a prerequisite there. I'm not sure if it's intentional or unintentional. Let's say somebody forgets something and they go to confession. Are all of their sins forgiven, or do they need to confess that particular sin, if you know?
Well, I think what priests would tell you and what our church would say was, as long as you have the sincerity of heart when you go in with your confession and you confess all the sins that you can think of in your mind, you're washed away from those sins and those that maybe venial sins. Now, if it's a mortal sin, that's not something you can leave out. You'll need to confess that. But for simple sins that relatively happen along the way in life, and that's why it's important to go to confession on a regular basis. And I'm sure your priest friends will tell you this, Royce, that when you go to confession regularly, say once a month, it's embarrassing to repeat the same sins over and over again, because you go, man, how do I keep doing this? And I keep telling this priest the same thing over and over again. It's embarrassing to say that. So the more frequently you go to confession, the more willpower you gain to avoid those temptations, and you get stronger, and it builds in more holiness in your life, more spirituality. And that's why it truly is one of the highways to heaven, because it helps you grow in holiness and deeper in your faith and your spirituality.
Amen. You know, Jim, you alluded to something here that you and your brother both experienced a reversion. Yes. And we only have about 4 minutes left, but I'd love to hear a little bit about where you were in your life and what led, what was the moment?
Well, to be honest with you, I kind of experienced a reversion to the gospel, and then I had a reversion back to my Catholic faith when I went to Franciscan University of Steubenville. You know, seeing the community there, going to Mass every day, and, you know, going to confession, I started to understand more deeply the need for it. So I would say that, yes, I had a conversion from sort of lackadaisical Christian life to a more fervent Christian life as a Protestant. And then I had a reversion to a deeper Christian life as a Catholic. So I'm happy for the reversion, though, because it's very easy to fall away from the faith when one doesn't have a deep enough faith. And so I'm very grateful. And as Deacon said, brought out a very good point. We're only one confession away from coming back in the church. If there is someone out there that may be feeling very bad, they can come back in, and it's just one confession away from coming back in. Oftentimes,
beautiful, such an amazing conversation, and I would love to keep going. We only have about a minute or two left. There's a few things that we haven't touched on that I wanted to. I wanted to hear, Deacon, about the master plan to follow Christ's teachings.
Yeah, and in real simple terms, Royce, so oftentimes we'll read books and maybe gain a few thoughts out of it, but they may stay with us for a while, and then they kind of leave us because we're on to other things. And this book, Spiritual Lightning, it has a basis for laying out a daily master plan that you can follow that keeps that grace of spiritual lightning in your soul and keeps you on that path of joyful and happiness. And it includes such things as participating in the sacraments, time with your family, prayer time, doing spiritual reading, being involved in the community. So you can fill it out on your own in about 10 minutes of time, and then you can follow it day to day and keep that grace of spiritual lightning flowing in your life and enjoy that abundant life that our Lord wants us to have.
You know, a quick thought for you. I can't reveal the name or who's behind it, but I'm involved with an app, a startup app that is going to be a Catholic app for podcasts and music. And there's going to be, it could be really interesting to, first of all, for both of you guys to create an audible version of your book that's narrated. Sophia might be able to help you do that, where we could just narrate it and people could listen to it. But the other thing I was thinking when you said that was, you know, is there a PDF or maybe there's a way to track that, you know, that master plan, like your progress? There's probably a way technically to put that into an app that somebody could look at their phone every day. It pops into their calendar and here's a reminder and check, you know, did you do this? Did you do that? No, you didn't. Okay. Go to time for confession. That would be kind of a cool thing to think about.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great idea. Because what we want to do is maintain the self-discipline that Jesus and our Blessed Mother showed us. through her apparitions, maintain that spiritual self-discipline to stay on the right path.
Yeah, I think a PDF is the first step. Second step is get it onto an app in digital form, and then people could, you know, just a simple task list every day on their calendar. We could probably figure that out. Anyway, so much that I would love to talk about, Jim. If you know, one thing you said earlier that I wanted to comment on and I didn't was, you know, how our Lady, you know, going back 400 or 500 years, you know, made these predictions about our time today and the time would be necessary for these things to be heard and. What's it like? In many ways, you're sort of like a conduit for, you know, making sure, because this is not an apparition I was aware of.
And, yeah.
Yeah. What's that like? I mean, I'm sure it's humbling in many ways.
I had got hit with an illness back in November, and, you know, and it was a very traumatic time because I literally wasn't sure I was going to live through it. But I think part of the reason I may have gone through that was because I was supposed to get these messages out, and now is the time for these messages to get out. Now, I don't consider myself the only voice, but there are many books in other languages. But as far as in English, there's not a lot that I've seen that go over, you know, in the way that I have tried to do. Go over in a full way these apparitions. So it feels like I'm meant to do this right now, and I'm going to continue to do it because I want to see when God gives me a mission, I want to take it to the end and carry it all the way to the end zone. And so one thing that God is, I think, when working with me on is realizing that when he gives a mission, carry it all the way through and into the end zone. And then when he's done with it, then you're done with it.
That's beautiful. I'll close with this. Matt Burke is a former Super Bowl champion, and he ends every single one of his emails with "use your talents for good." And I think about that. And I think about, you know, some of the saints that had different prayers where they, you know, basically said, you know, "Lord, make me an instrument of your will." And when we respond to God's call, we don't always know what the call is. It's not always clear. But when we use our talents for good, taking the time, gentlemen, out of your busy lives to sit down and write a book, pursue what you needed to pursue to actually get it published, and then to go on shows like this to promote, you know, things like what you're promoting, you guys are using your talents for good. So thank you so much for doing that, for being good examples for others to follow. For our listeners, you're listening to Truth Culture Life, and we'll be back next week. Thanks so much for listening.
For war, my fingers for bad.